Right now, you might want to just sit tight because on the phone with us is Larry Weber. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, and how are you doing?
Oh, we're doing fabulously. We've had a lot of coffee, a lot of calls, and it's been a really fun morning.
Well, terrific, yeah. I on my trip, one of the things that we did in many places on the trip was listen to public radio. And public radio, you know, is you can find it almost anywhere. There's different states that have public radio. But the more I listen, the more I realize that there are some of they just don't have what Northeast Minnesota has with public radio.
Oh.
So I feel really good about what we have.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, speaking of what you have, do you have any snow on the ground up there?
We don't have a flake right now.
Yeah, okay, interesting.
What about you?
No, none, zero.
Yep.
We missed some earlier, and then it hit up on the Iron Range, and then there was a forecast for some for tomorrow or today, later today and this morning, but I was out walking. I didn't see a single flurry, so I think it's still holding off. However, this is a beautiful gray November day. It's just spectacular. This
yeah.
is what we expect out of November. I thought it was interesting this week. We tend to think of October having clear days and November having clouds. Well, that's exactly what we had. We had the last days of October, day after day, were clear, and then as soon as we get to November, we start getting clouds. We did have plenty of sun, though, yesterday. However, let's look back a little bit at October. October of 2012 will go down on record as being the first month in 15 months where the average temperature was below normal.
Ah.
It didn't happen until the last week, but it slipped below normal, finishing less than 1 degree below normal, but it was below normal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's after all these months of being above normal. There was one warm day early in the month. We had mid-70s, but for the most part, there were no days. I think only three other times it got above 60, so it was a cool month. The temperature in the low end was low 20s. Now, we had 18 degrees here one morning on Halloween morning, but the weather service had 22 was the official low. Plenty of ice that morning. I've been seeing ice on a swamp and pond on a regular basis, and then this week, just yesterday, I saw ice on the edge of the lake for the first time. So this is the month when November is when we get a freeze-up. So I always refer to November as being the cloudy freeze-up month because we get both of the two in good amounts. The thing that was also below normal in October was precipitation. Not even an inch and a half of precipitation.
Mm.
This is about a half of what we normally get. A fourth month in a row below normal. But thanks to the earlier rains of May and June, the year will still go down on record as being above normal. Those real downpours at that time make quite a difference.
But it doesn't help so very much, does it?
No, it doesn't. And that was what I was going to talk about next. I took a walk, several walks in the woods this week, and I noticed just how dry it is. It's very hard to walk quietly in the woods right now with all the leaves being so dry. Usually what happens is I see it most in the fungus. There are various kinds of fungi that hang on to branches of wood and so forth. And then when it rains, especially in November, they absorb the moisture very quickly, and they really look beautiful. But nothing like that is going on now, it's being as dry as it is. So we'll see what it has to offer, whether this will go on to our snowfall. We did get a little snowfall in October, but once again, not very much. Other things of note, you probably noticed the very bright moon that we've been
mm-hmm.
having. I had yesterday morning just a spectacular walk in the pre-dawn darkness of a waning gibbous moon, which is still a very bright moon. And then right next to it, what appeared to be a really bright star was the planet Jupiter, and then in the east was the planet Venus. Now, the dark pre-dawn is going to change. It's going to change rapidly because we change our clocks tomorrow. And this morning was the last time where we had that kind of darkness at that time. Everything will move forward, and including the sunrise and the sunset. And so starting tomorrow, we'll have those earlier sunsets and the earlier sunrises as well. And that takes a little getting used to.
It does.
In the world of migrants, still plenty migrating across. Yesterday during a walk, I looked up and saw a rough-leg hawk migrating across. That's one of our later migrants. We've got goshawks, rough-leg hawks, bald eagles, golden eagles. They are all later migrants. And this morning, I saw a red-tailed hawk, which they migrate across pretty much any time. In the world of the songbirds, I've been seeing flocks of rusty blackbirds every day, juncos, tree sparrows. Earlier, I saw snow buntings, though I didn't see any in the last couple of days. And then I had somebody tell me about redpolls starting to show up. Canada geese are still out around the lakes, as well as ducks and coots, and who knows, maybe some. I haven't seen them, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's some tundra swans out there, too. We got back from our trip last weekend, and I started the bird feeder, and it was interesting, the response. Within 24 hours, 9 different species of birds showed up just that fast at the bird feeder. But the one that amazed me even more than that happened after dark, when the first flying squirrel showed up. And it's so interesting because I feed flying squirrels every winter, but I stop it when it gets to be April. And so I had not put any food at all out for flying squirrels from April all the way to the end of October. And yet on the very first night, there was the flying squirrel. One night this week, we had six of them. There were 4 of them earlier, and they were joined by a couple later. So they are definitely around. It gives me the feeling like I'm being watched all the time, that if they show up so quickly. In the world of insects now, this is time when you think, well, we're finally going to get away from the bugs. Well, there are some really interesting insects that have adapted to this time of year. Probably the one we see the most is the woolly bear caterpillar. The woolly bear caterpillar is not a predictor of winter at all. However, what it does do in winter, I think, is even more amazing, and that is it spends winter as a caterpillar. It just curls up underneath a leaf, stays there, survives the whole winter that way.
Huh.
And so what we're seeing right now is the caterpillars going out looking for a place to do that. And I had one day this week when I was biking, and I saw 4 of them at during the bike ride. Other things we note is that there's a kind of crane fly. They're about the size of a mosquito, but they're totally harmless to us. That go through a maneuvering flight at this time of year where you might see what looks like a big swarm of bugs. It's these crane flies, and what they're doing is they're trying to get the attention of females, and they do this with a real strange type of flight. And then if that's not enough, there's a species of moth that will often show up after dark when the temperature is in the 30s. Because they come often in late October, I have referred to them as World Series moths. And this week one day I had, about 20 of them on the window right outside. You know, with the early darkness, we have the light on inside, and they get attracted to the light. Very interesting critter. They're even referred to sometimes as winter moths because they fly so late. Neither the crane fly that I mentioned nor the moth, neither one even have a mouth. Their adult life is only for finding another one and mating and laying eggs, and therefore they don't last very long, but they're sure out at this time. The trees have pretty well all dropped their leaves, and any of the leaves we still see on trees would be things like weeping willow, where it's a non-native tree, but the native ones have dropped their leaves. The forest floor is very brown with the leaves, but there is still green of one kind of fern in particular, a wood fern. And then there is club mosses, princess pine that people call them. They're very common in your area, and you never realize how many there are until this time of year when you get out and do some walking in the woods. It's a terrific time to get out and walk, is what I find. And then there are still some tough, hardy wildflowers. Now, when I was taking the trip, I made a comment about a type of aster called New England aster, and I don't think there was a day that went by that I didn't see New England aster somewhere along the roadside. They're tall, dark purple, blue color, and very hardy. They're really tough. Well, they're called New England aster, and they're more common in that part of the country, but we do have some in this area, and one day this week I was biking, and right there along the side of the trail was New England aster, and yes, still in bloom. So there are some hardy flowers that do last as long as they can, but wow, this is the month of change. We're going to see a lot of change as we proceed through this this cloudy month, so enjoy it.
Thank you, Larry.
And thank you for calling. Good luck with the money coming in.
Thank you.
Yeah, take care.
Good night. Bye-bye. Oh, that's Larry Weber, and he is a fabulous, dedicated contributor to WTIP every Saturday. And if you've been tuning in lately, for the last 6 weeks or so, he's been calling from all over the place. He was on the East Coast from Maine to, I don't know, probably North Carolina. He would never hesitate to call in and let us know what was going on in that area and comment about what was probably going on here back home. He is a retired science teacher, twice named Science Teacher of the Year, as you probably could guess. And phenology is his passion. He lives on a farm with his wife in Carleton County. And that's why when he asks us if we have snow and I ask him if he's got snow, that's why. He's not a Cook County native, but Carleton County, just a little bit outside of Duluth. And just a fabulous guy. And there is someone I know in my neighborhood who won't leave the house until they've heard Larry Weber. And I totally relate to that. So if that sounds like you, why don't you give us a call? 387-1070. 800-473-9847 or click and join online, WTIP.org.